Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They have joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
I am the one, the only Mark Unger.
I might be dangerous.
Journey as always. The lovely and charming Diane Brierley.
He's psychotic!
And the incomparable Ross Allen Skorzewski.
I'm telling you, that dude just gives me the heebie-de-bejeebies.
The heebie-de-bejeebies. Engineering the show, as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray. Pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and making sure that we come to you across the World Wide Web. As he pushes buttons, twists knobs, and tries to stay awake during the show. This is the show that handles all of your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markunger.com. This is how the show works. You get to send a question about anything, stuff maybe you wish you could ask somebody, but you've just never had the courage. Well, you can do it with us because you can remain totally anonymous. In return, however, we are brutally honest. This is your opportunity to find out what people think when you're not in the room. So if you're up for it, send in your emails to radio@markunger.com.
December 22nd.
Today is the very first full day of winter. It's winter time. Officially speaking, now we've been celebrating winter as though it were winter. But it's not actually winter until it's winter. And now it's winter.
Officially.
And that's all I've got to say about that.
And 3 more days of shopping, boys.
Oh, dang.
Still waiting for my present to show up.
Okay, keep waiting. It'll be there for you. Mm-hmm. Someday, we promise.
No, it won't. You'll never get anything. Okay. Disturbing little article here that I just found.
Wait. First full day of winter. We gotta play a little bit of this tune right here.
Stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
Oh, I gotta go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very
I love it when they do the song
I'll
in the
hold your hand.
The elf movie.
Yeah, just the shower scene.
Mother will start to worry.
Hey, beautiful, what's your hurry?
Daddy will be pacing the floor.
Listen to that fireplace roar.
So really, I'll better scurry.
Oh, beautiful, please don't hurry.
Or maybe just a little bit more.
We'll put some records on while I pour.
Get away from him, girl. He's just trying to score.
He's trying to score.
Hey, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
The version of this that Leon Redbone did.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks swell.
To say no.
Mind if I move in closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense?
It's pretty obvious.
I really can't
Don't hold.
But baby, it's cold outside.
Get away from him. He's just trying to hit on you and using the cold as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay.
Okay, disturbing article.
Group sex
is the latest trend
for teenage girls. Dear Jesus.
Mm-hmm. This is very disturbing. Very disturbing, I'm warning you.
All right.
Research at Boston University School of Public Health found 1 in 13 teenage girls has experienced multi-person sex. Many of them pressured into it by their boyfriends. Girls as young as 15 are taking part in group sex, with more than half being coerced into doing it, the study revealed. Researchers at Boston University School of Public Health found, 1 in 13, initiated by boyfriends who are watching pornography.
What a shock.
The average age of the girls who experienced MPS, the multiple person sex, is just 15.6 years old.
Dear Jesus.
Under the legal age of consent in Massachusetts, which is 16, which is still too young, by the way, people. Comment by me. And nearly half of those said their sexual partners did not use condoms, raising concerns over the spread of sexually transmitted diseases.
Oh, good Lord.
The study of 328 girls from deprived areas in Boston who had gone to sexual health clinics raised concerns about the influence of pornography on teens. Girls were five times more likely to engage in MPS if they or their boyfriends had watched porn. Out of those engaged in MPS, 50% did things their partners saw in porn first. Porn may be influencing the sexual behavior of these teens.
Oh, do you think?
Maybe?
Do you think?
They added that more than half of the girls who engaged in some form of group sex were pressured or coerced into gang rape, or a boyfriend would ask them to do a three-way.
And parents, man, you've got to teach your kids to stand up for it. Who cares what anybody else thinks or believes? Mm-hmm. They don't want to do it, but they're doing it because they feel pressured. Yep. Who cares if you feel pressured? The answer is no. You just don't go down this rat hole with people. Yep. Teach them to stand up for their own values. Of course, I bet you most of these people don't have very engaged parents.
No, well, they said a deprived area of Boston, so take that for what it's worth. A third of those who had experienced MPS had also used alcohol or drugs before. The study published in the Journal of Urban Health reveals more research is needed in the link between highly sexualized images and decision-making in terms of sex and relationships
among
teenagers.
More research is needed. Now, listen to these pinheads.
This isn't enough.
This is a culture, these academic nitwits who are intellectually dishonest. They can't use common sense. They still debate the benefit of porn, so-called. They still, most of them, will say there is a benefit to pornography. And they run into this stuff, and they struggle. So they need more research to see whether or not looking at porn is screwing up these kids' view of sex. Gee, how many of you out there, by the raising of your hand, think we need more research before we can get to that conclusion?
I would say we don't need any more research,
God.
Morons.
These morons need more research to come to the conclusion that is obvious to anybody on the face of the planet. But no, can't do that. I'm a sexual, academic, blah, blah, blah. Nitwits.
To say it cited another study of high school girls in the U.S. Northeast that found sex parties had become an accepted activity among some teenagers.
So what are they going from one to another? Is it like a big orgy?
Apparently. They call them sex parties. Why don't they just call them orgies, huh?
All right.
Pornography is increasingly available to teenagers through the internet, and many are exposed to sexualized images through music stars and fashion models.
And keep in mind, people, what's happening, and what I've always said, porn makes people dissatisfied with regular sex. Now you've got teens that the idea of just having sex with a girl is a drag.
Enough? It's not enough. You have to have two girls
They are ratcheting up. Mm-hmm. What happens to these people when a few years later they get married? You think they're going to be content with
the
just
real
one
deal
woman?
Ain't good enough, no
but
man.
The real see the thing about porn is it makes the real thing not good enough.
Nope. Group sex among youth is an important public health topic that has received very little attention to date. It's time for parents, pediatricians, federal agencies, and community-based organizations to sit up, pay attention, and take notice. Group sex is happening, and we need to be prepared to address it.
We can't. We need more studies. We need more studies.
Very sad.
Porn's not bad. It's okay. It's healthy for you.
Because where else do you come up with the ideas that these kids, I mean, you're 15, 16 years old, where else do you think they're getting the ideas?
Not just the kids, these adult men with their wives trying to get them to do stuff that would make a normal person vomit. Where do they get these ideas from? They only get it
from porn.
From porn.
Agreed.
Stunning.
Nasty, nasty, nasty.
Nasty! They put the ass in nasty! Just awful.
But you know, if these kids are, this is what their friends are doing, this is what's normal, and they think that in order to fit in and be normal, they have to do this. It's sad. It's very sad. And parents who live with their head in the sand and don't realize that you need to be talking to your kids about this.
Okay. But this isn't just teens.
No, I know.
This is everybody who is exposed to this. Stop and think about this. Sex. Being sexually connected with another human being for
thousands of years, even though it's immoral if you're not married, but I'm just saying, just from a natural, was always considered rather stimulating.
Yes.
Okay. Now think what porn has done. It makes that a drag.
Mm-hmm.
Sex now, to a lot of married people, a lot of these guys in their marriages,
they get bored.
Their wives are, you know, getting pressured because, well, come on, you got to do this and you got to do that. They find sex, normal sex, this wonderful activity, they find boring. Now, I have been bored in my life. I have been bored in class. I've been bored in church. I've been bored doing this stupid show.
Yeah.
I'm bored right now.
Me too.
But I have never, ever, 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 ever been bored during sex.
We're sex!
I've never went, you
it's
know,
just
this
doing
is,
it for me.
This is kind of a drag. I pray to God I never get there. But after almost 40 years to the same incredible girl, it's still an adventure. Laugh is still
stop
an adventure.
There.
Okay,
we'll stop there without getting more graphic. But just the point being, it's not like, I don't know. Gee,
you need
this
to
is,
spice it up a little. It's kind
this
of boring.
Is getting naked? I don't know. This just doesn't do it for me. Seriously, this is what porn is doing to people. It's doing it to men all over the world. And you women who are so incomprehensibly, immeasurably stupid in allowing this in your home, allowing your husband to do this, so that you will never measure up now. You girls, you can't compete with this.
But I'm fine.
No.
None of you girls look like this.
Or act like
look,
this.
Look at the only girls who look like this are in the porn flicks. Mm-hmm. The rest of y'all don't look like this. Your hooters don't look like they're hooters.
No.
Your butt don't look like their butt.
No.
Your vagina don't look like their vagina unless you've had vaginoplasty.
And his something don't look like his something.
Yeah. And his, seriously.
His canoodle is a little different than yours.
These guys with their dang-a-langins have some seriously enhanced dang-a-langies.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why anybody would want to watch this, because I think I'd be seriously depressed after looking at that, thinking, oh, good Lord, I have been shortchanged in life.
Plus they're ripped.
And plus they're ripped. They got a six pack. Whereas I got the full cooler right here.
Cooler. You got a keg.
I got a keg going on here. And seriously, this is what you guys want to look at?
No.
So that sex now becomes a drag? So that teenage, the idea of getting a girl just to even cop a feel, and the which you shouldn't be doing, certainly from a Christian worldview, but from a non, man, that was quite a thrill in the day.
Well, apparently that's not so
that
much of a thrill anymore.
That is not a thrill anymore.
Group sex is not a thrill.
Getting a girl to do the wild thing with you is like, well, this is a drag.
Yeah.
No, thanks to porn, we got to do it with a group of people.
And porn has influenced, and it's not just like that you have to watch real pornography to get this. It's television, it's movies, it's everything. I remember last year, like at this time of the year, Christmas time, Dolce & Gabbana had the ad out for their watch.
Yep.
And it was two guys and a girl, and it was very obvious what they were going for is that she was in a room with these two guys, and they were, because then the maid walks in.
Two guys on one girl, right?
Horrified when I saw that ad. You know, and it played during something in the middle of the day when I was watching it with my kids.
They're selling a watch, and they got to show two guys doing one girl, and this is like...
I was horrified.
This is what's happening with all this wonderful porn that you girls allow in your lives, and you stupid men do, like a bunch of idiots.
It's appropriate for a watch commercial.
Only... so that you can now be dissatisfied.
How to pass time.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
My wife would beat the living snot out of me.
No, I don't even think she'd be entertained.
If I'm sitting there looking at porn, I'm stunned. I'm stunned at how many women on our block here. Their husbands freely admit they look at porn and stuff, and the girls just go with it like, you know, that's normal. That's okay to look at porn. Seriously?
Well, because that's what they think. They think it's normal.
So that
that's
you,
the line of bull that they've been fed, that it's normal.
So that, don't they get it that at some point, you don't measure up to these women?
Of course they do, and I'm sure that they feel not so great about themselves because of it,
I don't think they're thinking about it. They're acting like it's truly normal. And it's rotting marriages.
But they have to feel bad. They have to feel bad in comparison to think their husbands are looking. I'm sorry, they have to feel bad. I just don't believe that.
Well, have you seen some of the women on this block? There's some pretty gorgeous women on this block.
Well, maybe they can hold a candle to that then.
Well, not quite, but they're young still. But the thing is, you ain't going to stay that way.
Nope.
What happens when you turn 50 and he's still looking at this stuff that you've let him look at all these? You know what I mean? Mm-mm. There's a reason these marriages fall apart, people. Think it through. Mm-hmm. So this very thrilling, exciting, quite entertaining activity, good old-fashioned sex, is now a drag.
It ain't enough.
Thanks to porn. Mm-hmm. Isn't that fabulous? All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more of your emails right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America are pleased to present this much-anticipated DVD set, Singles and Stinking Thinking, A Clear Path to Marriage. This four-disc set gives practical and straightforward advice that singles need to hear when it comes to dating and marriage and making the right decision. Taught from a definite Christian worldview, Mark challenges the over-spiritualized, over-romanticized expectations that fill the heads of so many singles. More than 4 hours of teaching, this series includes sessions on finding a spouse, the do's and don'ts of dating, and sex makes you stupid, and so much more. This DVD is for all singles from age 16 to 90 with an eye toward marriage. Parents, if you are looking for a resource that is packed full of biblical wisdom to help instruct your son and daughter on a path towards a successful married future, this is the DVD set for you. Order your copy now at laughyourway.com or call 1-866-525-2844. That's laughyourway.com.
If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Now, when a woman is stressed out, she has to talk about it. If she doesn't talk about it, her brain will literally explode.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Snow is flying, man, it's cold, it's in the air, everywhere I go, it's a crazy time of the year.
Man, it's Christmas.
Jimmy Bradger, ladies and gentlemen.
Family's coming from out of town. Mama's cooking, so look out now, it's the best time of the year.
Man, it's Christmas.
Sing it, Jimmy, come on!
Presents, mangers, mistletoe, stocking trees and lights that glow, turkey dressing and all that stuff. I know for sure I'm gonna eat too much. Mary, Jesus, three wise men, Joseph, angels, and Bethlehem. Come on, let's celebrate.
Come on, man, it's Christmas. You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show, coming up on Christmas this weekend. Hope y'all are ready for it. Christmas Eve services all over the place. Some of y'all Christmas morning services as well. Our church is not doing Christmas morning. We're doing it all Christmas Eve. Then everybody sitting Christmas morning, hanging with their family. Hallelujah. All right.
Dating question. I'm a 25-year-old single, and I have a problem about my ex.
Male or female?
Female.
Ex what?
Boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend.
So it's dating, ex-boyfriend, breaking up, getting back together kind of question. Mm-hmm. We were dating 4.5 years.
Good grief.
And we broke up 5 months ago.
Okay, you girls, what are y'all thinking? Some guy dragging you along for 4.5 years? You get a guy dating you more than a year and doesn't show you a ring, kick his butt to the curb and move on.
Okay, I should have said this to begin with. There's a little bit of cultural thing. This is from Malaysia, and she's a Buddhist.
I don't care what the heck.
They might be thinking things differently in Malaysia when you're a Buddhist.
All right, I'm not up on my Buddhist thinking.
They broke up 5 months ago because he was jobless and depressed and wanted to be single again. I was devastated at that time and didn't want to leave his side, but eventually it didn't
seem
to work.
Single again, so she was living with him, probably.
No, because I asked if they were physically sexually involved, and they were not.
Well, it's single again. He just didn't want to be dating her anymore.
Yeah, so she was single, you know, so she's not in a dating relationship anymore. So apparently she just didn't want to let him go and hung on. It didn't seem to work. Even holding hands with me was unnatural, and he said that he just has no more feelings towards me, and in the end, we just broke up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we decided to be friends again, though I tried to avoid him unless necessary. He has been driving me nuts. There are times when he asked me out for dinner or to a movie by a text message, and when it was that day to do so, he went silent throughout the day and eventually canceled due to his job. Just recently, he texted me saying, I want to give myself a chance with you again. If at the end it is still not possible, at least we wouldn't regret it because we've tried our very best to solve the problems between us. Still, the decision is yours, and I'll respect your decision. She says, nice try for just a text after 5 months. So I replied, that's all. He immediately said, maybe you could try to consider before replying to me because I really don't know what to say. She wants to know, what should I do? Should I give him a second chance to court me back? I'm very curious as to what is going on in his mind. I'm confused and was really hurt in the past. How could he just ask me to leave and then being very vague during the cooling period and now simply ask me to be back with him again? Please advise me on what I should do with him.
Well, I don't know what Buddhist tradition is, but we have a tradition in this country where you have him come close to you and you bend over and you tell him,
hey, kiss
this!
And don't be on our rosy red lips.
Oh, yeah!
Me and you
are well through.
And there's only one thing left for you.
That's right, just bend over and smile. Show him your left cheek or your right cheek and say, kiss this a goodbye. Kiss this a goodbye.
See ya. Dump his butt, girl. Move on. Good grief. He's dating you for 4 years. He's not getting serious. Do you want to get married or you just want to play games for the rest of your life? He wants to come back into your life and say, well, why? Well, I just want to date you. I'm not interested. I'm looking for a husband. Well, I don't want to be your husband. Then jump his butt. I mean, come on, you girls. You get what you ask for.
4.5 years, he either knows that he wants to be with you or doesn't. And if he doesn't, move on.
Honestly, 4 years? 4.5 years dating? Are you crazy? I don't know anything about Buddhists, but...
Buddhist or not, it's a little crazy.
Buddhist or not, you know. Good news is that sounds about as crazy as most Christians I know.
Yeah.
Let's hope maybe Buddhists are smarter than that.
You were hoping, weren't you? Because you could really slam Christians then. At least the Buddhists are smarter
Christians
than you.
Christians are willfully ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe the Buddhists had more sense than that. Seriously. You take your cute Buddhist butt, tell him to kiss it, move on. Honestly. These women, they have no respect for themselves. That's why people treat them like crap. Four years.
And then he dumps her. And I was like, well, I'm thinking about getting back together. Seriously, you're thinking about...
I'll give you something to think about.
Yeah, you want to marry me? Well, I don't know if I want it. Well, then go away.
Yeah.
I'm playing games here. How old is she? 25?
Today she was 20-something, right?
What are you waiting for, girl?
25.
Wow. No, in 10 years, you're going to be 35. Your appeal factor starts dropping off pretty quick.
I mean, even
Buddhists or not, unless you got some Buddhist ritual that can keep you looking really young for the next 30 years, because another 10 years after that, you're going to be 45.
Yeah.
I hate to break it to you, but there's not a whole lot of men knocking themselves over trying to find single 45-year-old women.
Amen.
Don't put up with his nonsense.
Please.
Seriously. Honestly. How does she know about this show?
Actually, I don't know if she said that.
Ask her.
Okay.
I'm just fascinated. We have got Buddhists. We had the other day with the Muslim girl, guy. We got people all over the world listening to the show, which we think is great.
I'm telling you, YouTube, most of the time people say that they got someone sent them that YouTube clip of The Tale of Two Brains.
And that's what sends them over to me to find us on the radio.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening.
Most of the time, that's what the foreign countries, that's what they say.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. And she's from Malaysia?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I've been on that part of the world. Them women are drop dead gorgeous. Yeah. They're all gorgeous.
Yeah.
Good Lord, all the 20-year-old ones are gorgeous, I'll tell you that. It's like they got a cookie cutter. It's like, dang.
It's the call of the pretty cookie cutter.
The pretty cookie cutter.
Clink pretty.
Cooker. I have been, not in Malaysia, but in Singapore, which is close enough. My holy cow. You know, maybe just because I'm getting old and I'm on the verge of geezerhood. But these, man, my wife and I both were walking around. These young Asian chicks like, holy cow, look at these women.
Very pretty.
Shazam, girl.
Shazam.
Don't put up with that. No. Tell him to kiss your Buddhist butt and move on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can do that in Buddhism.
I don't know.
What can you do in Buddhism? I don't know anything about Buddhism.
Why not?
I know a bit. I know Judaism. Class in college.
Obviously, as a Christian.
So you're.
I know Islam.
You're schooled in this area.
But I know nothing about Buddhism. What else is there over there?
I don't know. The class I took was Hinduism and Buddhism. It was both of those, but that was many years ago.
Even Hinduism, I got a little bit of a handle on Hinduism. Mm-hmm.
Buddhism is the Buddha. You know, the little Buddha guy.
I might look like a Buddha.
Yeah.
Maybe she's listening
Buddhism
to the show.
Is Buddha? No.
No, she's,
it's about the Buddha.
She's listening to the show because I remind her of the Buddha.
Of the Buddha.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a fat bald man there.
It's about the enlightenment and the nirvana and reaching the stages. It was so many years ago.
I don't know. She ain't going to get to nirvana with this idiot. Dump his butt.
It's 25 years ago. That's
or if he wants to get serious, say, look, get serious. I'm not interested in playing this game. I'm 25 years old. Move on, dude. I'm not dating you anymore. You want to get married? You want to build a life together? You want to have children? You want to make something?
He kind of sounds like a jerk. I'd just move on. I don't think I'd even
bother
asking him.
The thing is he sounds like most men, period, today.
Well.
How old is he?
I didn't.
That's all part of this westernizing of the culture, even in Malaysia, where people are delaying marriage more and more. One of the reasons why I was in Singapore is the government there paid me, good Lord, I can't remember what, $30,000 to come speak for an hour. God bless them gigs. We love them gigs.
Wow.
You know, plus first class tickets,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to come and talk to their culture because their culture is in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
We're warning people in this country about where we're headed. Well, in Singapore, they're already there. They are breeding themselves out of existence. Their divorce rates are climbing. These people are waiting into their 30s now, plus they get married. Of course, then they can't have babies after that. They are headed for some serious demographic mm-hmm. problems. I don't know what it is about Western culture, but it is by nature self-destructive, and it eventually eliminates itself because it's so narcissistic. So they flew me in to talk to these people and tell them why it's important to get married. But come on, take your cute little Malaysian face and have some respect for yourself and tell this boy to go away. And that's all I got to say about that. I'd have some other Buddhist comment, but I don't know anything about it. Actually, I'd like to see you become a Christian.
Do you enjoy enhancing your environment with the fragrant scent of candles? Try Scentsy Candles. Scentsy wickless candles are flame-free, smoke-free, and lead-free. Scentsy wickless candles are stronger, longer lasting, and most important, safer for you, your family, and pets. The exclusive Scentsy wax bar is melted on one of our decorative warmers by a low watt light bulb, releasing our powerful and long lasting fragrance into your home, office, or dorm room. With over 40 decorative candle warmers, 20 plugins, and 80 different scents to buy, we have something for everyone. Shop online at www.thekellers.scentsy.ca. That's www.thekellers.scentsy.ca. And have products shipped to your door today.
Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child. Find the key things that motivate them and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. Each Kids Flag Page game comes with everything you need to complete 3 Kids Flag Pages. Designed for children ages 4 to 11, the Kids Flag Page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
You listen to the Mark Unger Show. Talking about love, marriage, relationships. During this Christmas season, you can send us your questions to radio@markgunger.com from all over the world.
Okay, these next two questions come from the same lady. Her first question is...
The Buddhist chick?
No.
Oh.
No. These next two coming out.
Oh, got it.
I am a reborn Christian. About 5 months ago,
can you call Buddhist chicks chicks?
I call them whatever.
So I don't know the rules.
There is no rules.
I don't know the Buddhist
chicks
rules.
Chicks are chicks.
We're going to have to start brushing up on all our rules for all the different cultures emailing us.
Okay. Are you okay?
Feel better,
there,
Ross? Ross had to step out for a minute. Can't imagine what that was about.
Because he can't rip him in front of me, apparently.
Okay.
But thank you for not.
Yes.
Okay, so I reaccepted Christ 5 months ago. I accepted the Lord when I was a little girl. But I ended up getting baptized when I was 13 years old at my church that I grew up in. But almost 2 months ago now, I decided to get baptized again because I wanted to show that I've been reborn in Christ. Okay. I did this for myself, but also to show my fellow believer friends so that they can hold me accountable. So here's my question. My husband is a new believer as well and hasn't been baptized. And my brother has never been baptized, but he's been a believer his whole life. Mm-hmm. I've actually never asked my hubby to be baptized. Not sure what he would say if I did ask him. But when I asked my brother why he won't be baptized, he says, I've never felt the Holy Spirit lead me to. I don't see the need or the purpose to show off my faith to the people of the church.
Oh, I need medication. Okay, keep going.
She says, I think my brother is missing the point of baptism. What do you think? And what would you say for me so that I can bring it up with my hubby in conversation to see if he's interested in getting baptized, or should I just not ask him at all and let him decide when he is ready someday? Thank you all. You guys are awesome.
Well, what the heck? Now, I don't know anything about Buddhism, but I got a clue a little bit about Christianity. Talk about Christianity. See, now, here's the thing. People just make stuff up.
Yes.
They call themselves Christians, but they're no more Christians than the Buddhist chick with the guy who should kiss her Buddhist butt. Right? Mm-hmm. They claim to be Christian, but they're not. They just make it up. Christianity 101, he who believes and
is baptized.
Jesus said, go on to all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's almost like being a Christian. I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in Christ.
Well.
I mean, it's almost what they're saying. They just make it up.
Yeah.
I don't think baptism is important. Really?
Wasn't that step two? In theory?
Oh, gosh. How does anybody be that incomprehensibly stupid about spiritual things? How can you be
they don't
that
read the
dumb
Bible?
About... But seriously, I bet you most people who
church?
Don't even know much about the Bible know that one of the major tenet of Christianity is belief and baptism. I mean, this is like the 1-2 punch.
Right.
I mean, even the dumbest people on earth know this. You have a husband and a brother who claim to be Christians who are explaining to you why they don't need to show... First of all, what do you mean I don't think it's important to show my faith to people? Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father.
Yep.
If you deny me before men, if you refuse, I will deny you before my Father.
Yes.
This guy is as clueless as the day is long. I don't know what version of Christianity he thinks he's adhering to, dear, but this is not the Christianity where Jesus is involved. Your husband does not know what he's talking about. Now, should you be disrespectful and stick it in his face?
Well, her husband isn't the one who said it. It was her brother.
Well, even her, well, her brother, you can get in his face because he's just your stupid brother. Your husband, you got to show respect. You don't have to.
But should she bring it up to him and
to his husband
and say, "Honey, you need to be baptized."
You know what you ought to do? You ought to encourage your husband to go to church. Does he go to church? Do they not talk about the Bible at your church? Maybe encourage him to read the Bible, actually, because it'd be pretty hard to read the Bible and miss baptism. You know, you could miss predestination. You could miss all kinds of doctrines that people make big deals about that you got to go searching in corners in the Bible to even find what they're talking about. But
baptism?
This you've missed? You know, so
well, I will say the years that I did go to church growing up in a mainstream church, and when I first started years later, it was in a mainstream church, and it wasn't until I was in more of an evangelical church that I ever heard anything about baptism and knew that it was important.
That's so, only because you really, even mainstream churches, that's the mainstream churches don't even think you can get saved if you're not baptized. In fact, they're so ridiculous about it. They think that if you're baptized, you're automatically saved, even if you don't know what you're doing. You could be all... axe murder, but as long as you're baptized, you're going to heaven. I mean, it's absurd. Mainline churches talk about being crazy in the head. They overdo the baptism thing, but at least still they do the baptism. How can you? What version of Christianity is there even out there that even exists that takes out baptism? This is a new one for me. Of course, why not? They're making up all kinds of stuff. I'm telling you, they pull it out of their butts. They just, whatever version of faith, they just make it up. They don't read the Bible. They don't need to read the Bible. They just think they become a god in their own minds.
Sure.
It doesn't matter what God says. It just matters what they think.
Well, they just think that they're a Christian and they're going to go to heaven and that there isn't anything more to it than that.
I know. They just make it up. They make up their own version of Christianity in their head, I think.
Let me ask you this. If a person is born again, living out their faith, and they are not baptized, is that a deal breaker?
Say that again?
Well, if a person that, you know, let's say they do get born again, you know, they say the prayer, and they actually start living out a very vibrant, passionate pursuit of Christ, but never get baptized.
I don't know that I've ever seen that. And I don't care how vibrant they are. Jesus said, you need to believe and be baptized. It's just straight up.
Sure.
Now, if you die on your deathbed and you can't get baptized, the guy on the cross who died along with Jesus, he wasn't baptized, you know, but he was dead within an hour, you know. Surely God cuts you some slack on that. But beyond that, you got no business not being baptized.
And most are compelled to, because you're in a church
if you get it, you want
baptism,
to.
But I'm just, I'm curious.
I'm just trying to,
is it a deal breaker?
Yeah, what kind of Christian church preaches no baptism?
I'm
sure they've got to be out there. There's probably people saying, oh, my church never talks about it. Wouldn't surprise me. Good Lord. We got churches now say there's no such thing as hell. We got churches here showing you don't have to really believe in anything. Just to be a Christian and say you don't believe in baptism is like being a Jew that thinks it's okay to eat, you know, bacon sandwiches in the morning. Yeah, okay. And there probably are Jews that think that, you know, but that's really not true Judaism.
Right.
You know, it would be like Muslims who think it's okay to, you know, drink beer and also eat pork. A Muslim would never. Well, I'm a Muslim, but I drink, I get drunk and I eat pork and I never pray to Allah. Oh, what kind of Muslim are you? Good grief. I mean, it's absurd. Your brother and your husband, spiritually speaking, are nitwits, okay? Now, you need to be respectful to your husband. It's not your job. I would just say to him respectfully, I says, you know, Bob, have you ever been baptized? Well, you know, I haven't. He said, you know, you're supposed to be. Well, I don't think I need to be. Well, you know.
Then let it go.
I'm just telling what the Bible says and just move on. Don't get nasty about it. He said, but your nitwit brother, man, I'd have no problem getting in his face. Say, what are you talking? Well, show me in the Bible where it's okay not to be baptized. Have you read the Bible? Have you even looked at the Bible? I'm just stunned. I don't know why I'm stunned, but I'm stunned. People, stuff never ends. It never ends. Okay. I don't know why there is a Bible. God clearly wasted his time inspiring men to write the Bible.
Well, it's a waste on some people, let's say. I mean, it's not been a waste of time in my life. Thank you very much.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, okay.
Okay, all here's right, her other
move
question.
On. Okay.
Her other question, again, her husband is a new believer, and he's not growing as fast as I am, which
is fine.
Well,
he's a new believer.
That's what I said.
I missed that. But the other brother's been a believer for a long time?
Yes,
it's your brother who's a real idiot.
Yes.
Okay.
The husband's just a new believer, not going as fast as what she is.
Well, it might help if he got baptized. Yes.
She says, I understand it's fine. He's growing on his own time, and I need to worry about my own self, not my husband. Mm-hmm. My question is, when I come home from like a Wednesday night worship and praise service, feeling close and on fire to God, and walk into my husband and his friends drinking beer and cussing and discussing things I don't want to hear about, what do I do? My husband is, again, a new believer, but I fear that the friends he still hangs out with bring him down when he is in their company. So I am starting to drift away from that friend so that I can find friends that only bring me up, not down. So she's staying away from the common friends. I just hate coming home to foul language, drinking, and yucky conversations sometimes.
Well, sweetheart, I'd challenge your husband. Mm-hmm. Not in front of your friends, but later. I mean, do you guys ever talk? What is it with these people? They're married. They never talk to each other? Wouldn't you think something like that would come up in conversation?
But
Where all you got to do is say, Bob, I know you're a new Christian. So, yeah. I says, well, as a Christian, why are you cursing and saying nasty things with these guys?
And she just removes herself and goes in the other room.
Yeah, but even so, I mean, you know, you don't have to do it disrespectful. You can challenge people in a respectful way.
He says, well, woman, I want to do what I want to do.
Okay.
Just thought maybe I don't know what the Bible says. Which, the Bible does not say you cannot drink. Okay, now if he's getting drunk with his friends, that's a different thing. But he's getting crude and nasty and cursing. Well, yeah, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So don't make stuff that isn't there.
If he's a new believer and his friends are non-believing.
But wait a minute. If his friends are doing, but he's not, well, that's a little different picture too.
This is true.
And if he's a new believer, first of all, encourage him to follow through on his faith. Mm-hmm. Before you start dealing with his drinking and cursing, maybe you say, you know, maybe you should get baptized. I mean, we are talking Christianity 101 here, okay? You need to be baptized. Follow through on your faith. And again, you can challenge him in a respectful way. You don't have to get nasty about it. And listen, the more you make a big deal out of it, the more you act more spiritual than him, the more you'll push him away from his faith.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway.
That is that.
Just talk to him about it. What the heck? Okay, we'll take a break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Find yourself missing episodes of The Mark Gunger Show? No need to worry. Go to iTunes.com and download all of our podcasts, which are made available free to you, our loyal listener. Join Mark and co-hosts as they continue to discuss any and all issues concerning life, love, and marriage. This Christmas season, when it comes to looking for that special gift or that special someone in your life, think outside the box and go to laughyourway.com, where all of Mark Gunger's DVDs are buy one, get one half off. This Christmas, buy the gift that will keep on giving. This offer is available only at laughyourway.com.
At Marriage Magazine, we celebrate marriage. The magazine is full of quickie how-tos, enticing tidbits, secrets from real-life people, tools on how to deal with difficult issues, as well as fun tips to bring back or increase that love and feeling. Just think of the magazine as continuing education for that most important relationship in your life and your kids' lives. Subscribe at marriagemagazine.org. That's marriagemagazine.org. Or call 1-800-MARRIAGE. 1-800-MARRIAGE. You'll be glad you did.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Agency.
I still say that they have done some of the most timeless presentations.
Agreed.
Christmas music.
These guys?
Yeah.
The favorite is Silent Night. Their version of Silent Night is the end all, be all favorite version of it.
Mannheim Steamroller. You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show.
This Christmas season, discussing your marital and relational challenges.
Thank you for turning the air conditioning on. The flower is not wilting in the heat over here anymore. It's so hot.
No, now this flower
I know. Now Ross is freezing. He needs a parka.
We'll fix it here. I'm trying to fix it.
This question says, how do I continue to stand for my marriage when my husband denies his ongoing affair and runs to her bed after every marriage counseling session? My heart can't take it much more.
Say it again.
She said, how do I take a stand for my marriage, continue to stand for my marriage when my husband denies his ongoing affair and runs to her bed after every marriage counseling session? My heart cannot take it anymore. I asked her what the counselor said. She said, the counselor is aware that my husband is being dishonest. I think he's trying to wait on God.
Who, the counselor or the husband?
Wait, who's waiting on God?
Yeah.
The counselor, I think. She says, court pressed him a few times, but he just gets nasty and defensive and starts swearing. I think the counselor may be waiting for God to make a move, you know, and intervene in the situation and change the husband's
really
heart.
Things out.
I asked her if she had support from her friends and family in church. She said, I have tremendous support. They are currently separated. She's living with her grandmother down the street from their house. So they are separated, trying to stay in this counseling, trying to make it work. But the dude keeps going off to the hoe.
Why isn't that part of the condition? As we try to work this out.
Why isn't they haven't moved out?
No, she is out.
She's at grandma's.
Yeah. So she's not living there. She's moved out, you know.
I'm confused. What's the question?
She wants to know how she keeps going at this and what should she do when they're in counseling. She's trying to save the marriage, but the husband's denying the affair and keeps continuing it behind her back.
What can you do? Divorce his butt. I mean, if there's one reason to divorce, this is it.
Mm-hmm. Her question was, how do I continue to stand? I'm not sure that you do, but that's...
Yeah, I don't think
you continue to do counseling. I don't think you continue to try to do life with this
individual.
Why
are you doing counseling and everything else? They're separated.
Yes, separated, but he's still with the hoe.
Truly separate.
Well, he's still hanging with the hoe. Ho, ho, ho.
Put some time and
put some financial constraints on the little boy.
Yeah, divorce his butt.
Yeesh.
You know, if he really wants her,
I mean, you know what happens a lot of times.
Or if she doesn't want it, look, we're not big on divorce. The only reason we even consider divorce is in a case like yours.
But even like this, you get served papers and someone finally sees that this is a real deal, it sometimes just absolutely
jerks
the slack right out of
him. And clearly he's non-repentant at this point.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
But the finality of papers on the
doorstep.
It might
be the little wake-up shot to the head that he needs.
Your counselor.
True.
Waiting for God to intervene.
That's what I understand that to mean, is that the counselor's just saying, wait on
God. I
gotta
stop doing this show. I'm starting to sound more like my father-in-law.
Wait on God.
I need to stay compassionate.
You're losing your compassion.
I've corrupted him.
This is true. Okay. Next one says, I am 14. Another Christianity question, by the way. We've gotten several of those. Apparently, they think you're the Bible answer man.
I guess I am.
They don't email Hank Hanegraaff. They email Mark Gunger.
Who the heck's Hank Hanegraaff?
Hank Hanegraaff is the Bible answer man. That's his radio show.
Jeez, you know more about this
like
than
87?
All right.
I think he's older. Older than this one, anyway. Oh. Maybe not. Maybe this is the geezer.
Hanegraaff?
Hank Hanegraaff. Okay, I'm 14 and from Australia. I have recently become a Christian about a year and a half ago, and I read the Bible almost every night and
pray
every night.
Is that a guy or
a girl?
I was going to say, because we sent him to the other girl.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
My sister, who claims to be a Christian, does not read her Bible or pray at all, apart from a quick thank you, God, for this food before dinner. I told her that Christians are supposed to read the Bible as often as possible and to make time for God. She told me that if a Christian tells another person how to be a Christian, then they're really not a Christian. Is she right?
No,
I don't know what she means.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Real Christians don't tell other Christians.
Are you kidding? The Bible says we're supposed to provoke one another into love and good works. Mm-hmm. That means we get in each other's face in love, but we challenge. It's not like you're being nasty about it, but you're challenging her. She said, well, that's not Christian if you challenge me. She's on drugs. Again, these people, they don't read the Bible. Ask her. Where in the Bible do you see that?
You can tell her to ask her
sister.
Yeah. Her sister doesn't read it.
But that's the point.
She won't know.
Well, only non-Christians. Well, she's questioning it herself.
Yes.
Ask your goofy sister, where in the Bible does it say that, sis? Well, the Bible says you can't tell other Christians what to do. Really?
Judge not. She probably knows those
even
words.
Even that. See, show me where that says that.
Yeah. Look it up. Show me.
Show me. Yeah. Challenge you to read the Bible. Look, sometimes God really deals with people with these arguments. Mm-hmm. I know guys who've gotten saved arguing about the Bible.
Well, because they finally read it for a change and figure out what it says.
Because
read it,
guys say, well, where does it say it? Well, the Bible's full of contradictions. Really? Can you show me one? Well, yeah, I'm going to. And then they start reading the Bible to find the contradictions. Kabir is like that.
And they find the truth.
You know, and he got saved. Our friend Kabir got saved because he's going to argue the Bible. Look, anytime people, you can get people reading the Bible even to defend their asinine positions, that's a win. So you got a sister who's arguing with you about what it means to be a Christian, and you're challenging her. And on the other hand, what was she telling her in the first place that she got mad about for telling her?
She was telling her sister that she needs to read the Bible and pray.
Find encouragements in the scriptures why you're supposed to be devout and read the scriptures and pray. Find that yourself. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge for you as well. Don't go into these arguments. You people go into these arguments, you don't even know what the Bible says.
You have to be armed.
Go in. Do a little Bible study on yourself. Man, you can Google that instantly. Mm-hmm. The importance of reading the Bible. It'll show you scriptures that encourages you to read the Bible. Then go talk to you say, you know, the Bible says this and this. Well, yeah, a non-Christian. If you're really Christian, you never tell other people how to live. Really? Would you show me where that says that in the Bible?
Where?
Watch what your sister does. Mm-hmm. And just challenge her to put up or to shut up.
She has a little bit more. It says, I feel really bad because, to be honest, if the rapture happened tomorrow, none of my immediate family would be going. Mm-hmm. They have all bought into the lie that you just have to believe and you'll be saved. I feel responsible because I am with them every day and so far have made no really big efforts to tell them about what being a Christian is like. I kind of feel a bit intimidated because I don't want to seem like I'm telling my parents what to do. Please help me with how to go about sharing the good news.
You know what? You got to be careful with your prayer. You got to be respectful. Again, people, there's a way to challenge people and still be respectful. Mm-hmm. What happens is people cross the line where they become disrespectful. It's a little tricky, but pray and ask God about it and have a good attitude and say, you know what? The Bible says this. Well, all I need to do is believe. Well, really? Well, you know, the Bible says this, that. Well, don't tell me what to do. Especially if you're parents, then you back off.
Yeah.
You know, and
because they will probably feel disrespectful, that kind of a challenge, no matter what.
You know, but you got to be able to just calmly and peacefully challenge your thinking. You can do this without being disrespectful. Your sister, you can wrestle more. She's your sister, for heaven's sakes. But just challenge them and just relax, okay? This is God's problem. If I was going to freak out at what happens if the rapture happens tomorrow and started doing that 40 years ago when I get saved, I'd be crazy by now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say there's at least a 2.7% possibility that the rapture won't happen tomorrow. We don't know. She doesn't know either. Just relax. Relax. All right? Just you live it out. That's between them and God. You know, it's not your... By the way, for you people, it's not your job to straighten out your family.
No.
You know, and sometimes...
When you love them, you want to, and I get it.
Well, sometimes the person who will have the least effect will be their family members.
Oh, yes.
Pray God brings other people in their lives. You know, and you go out and affect other people. You can't fix your family. You can pray for them and speak to them, be as respectful as you can. Mm-hmm. But don't go looking for fights with them. All right.
Don't fight with your family.
What you got?
Okay. It says, hey, Mark and the mariachis.
The mariachis?
I guess that's what it says.
You're the mariachi, Ross.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Before I get to my question, I have to tell you guys a story. 3 weeks ago, I got a job, which caused me to move away from home. For the time being, I live with my aunt and uncle. The first thing I noticed is that they don't sleep in the same room or on the same floor, for that matter. She sleeps on the first floor. He sleeps upstairs. Obviously, not much of the wild thing going on. The next thing I learned is that both of them are very talkative and open with me. So they both tell me all the health issues they are dealing with. Here is the info I have gathered so far. They both have high blood pressure and cholesterol. She occasionally has migraines and sometimes has a hard time concentrating at simple tasks. He runs to the bathroom every 1.5 hours and gets nothing out of it but a small dribble. Prostate, she says. So here's my question. Why would your uncle tell you all of this? Okay. But here's her question.
Why are you even having these conversations with your uncle?
Because apparently they both have diarrhea of the mouth and tell her everything.
Well, who spends that much time with their uncle? They find out how much he pees.
No. There's people that will just, you can be standing next to them in a grocery store line and you know
I'm having a hard time
peeing. They tell you and say, really? Okay. Anyhow, here's her question.
Gosh.
Can these health problems be avoided by having a healthy sex life? I know that there are a plethora of things that can cause these symptoms, but I'm just curious. Would certain health issues be avoided if people
Yes. People, generally speaking, people with healthy sex lives have fewer prostate problems and all these other problems, yes. But listen, don't go there with them. This is why you're...
It's kind of you.
What your auntie and uncle do is... None of your business.
Kind of
you. Just get away from them. Good Lord. It's not your problem to fix how often they do the wild thing.
But also know that sometimes it's the health issues themselves that cause them to no longer be doing the wild thing. It can be carts and horses and horses around. And carts,
exactly.
You know,
so
that's, chickens and eggs or however
your,
it goes.
It's not your
it's kind of weird.
Situation to be.
I don't think that I would be having that conversation with aunts or uncles or parents or grandparents. Or anybody else. I don't want to know where you sleep and what you do.
Tim, how do you get this thing off the timer? Off the timer. You may have me reprogram this. We're trying to.
You're still trying to get the air conditioner.
Those of you who have no idea what he's
talking
about.
He told me to reset the remote control on the air conditioner, and now it's like an old VCR. Or the
cancel.
Well, how'd you get yours to do it?
He's
squirrel.
What do you mean it went away?
Squirrel.
We no longer have his attention.
Well, I did set the time.
Oh, my gosh.
No, that's not it, because I've been hitting cancel, and it ain't blinking. This thing is just blinking at me. It's making me crazy. It's possessed. Frazenschlagen. All right.
Okay, all right. That's the end of that one. All right, I don't know if you can fit this whole one in, because you went off on a rant on the very same thing last week. I have just recently found your radio show and enjoy listening to it very much. It is exactly what believers need to hear. My fiance and I recently attended one of your conferences, and we enjoyed it very much and learned a lot. I'm 27.
Mm-hmm.
My fiance is 22. My fiance asked me to marry him a year and a half ago, 6 months after we started dating long distance.
Aren't you married yet? What the heck?
They were dating long distance. He was deployed. He went on deployment. My parents weren't excited about it because of maturity issues, that it was too fast and not having a chance to get to know him. And his parents were divorced when he was young.
Okay.
My dad was deployed this past May, so the dad's been gone for a year, and the dad feels uncomfortable because he hasn't really gotten to know the fiance either.
Okay,
so my parents feel like they don't know him. My question is, we want to get married this coming July, but my parents want us to wait so that they can get to know him better. We have struggled physically and have had sex without penetration. I cannot believe I've lowered my standards that far. We have sought forgiveness and want to get married and make it right. My parents won't participate in the wedding right now, so please give me your advice if I have wrong thinking or not. Do I get married without their approval, or do we wait and get my parents' approval? The Bible does say honor your parents, so is this dishonoring them?
Well, that's debatable. Look, at the end of the day, what are you going to do if your parents never approve of you getting married? What are you going to do? You going to stay single the whole time?
Because I mean, they
it's,
might not.
It's not like she's 12.
No.
27 years of age?
Mm-hmm.
Now, my only challenge to you would be, how well do you know the boy?
Yes.
Do you really know him?
Yeah.
Generally, it's a good idea to listen to your parents.
Yeah.
You know? But it's hard for me to weigh in. Generally speaking, if you really know each other, you really want to do what's right, you want to get married, you get married. You just announce to your mom and dad, we're getting married, we hope you come to the wedding. And they're, I'm not coming to the wedding. Well, then you just move on. You do
but
a cheap
I'm not
wedding.
Sure she knows him. They've been apart and separated and deployed and been involved sexually, and I think that...
Well, she knows him enough to... Get half naked
well, you don't
with
have to
him.
Know someone to get naked with them, and in fact, that keeps her from
can
getting to know him.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's red flags for me, but that's just me.
I don't know. Talk it through with your parents. See if you can find a good solution to the deal. All right, see you guys.
Bye, bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.